Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Just to throw this out a little bit, sidestep this topic, which we'll go back to. If we were seeded here by spores sent by aliens, would there be any kind of genetic memory of where we came from?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question. And maybe, I guess, the answer could be yes. There's people who take a very critical view of SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and I think I'm one of them, because I feel their scope is very limited. They're searching for electromagnetic radio signals of a given advanced civilization, or at least advanced enough to send those kind of signals and for us to receive them, because they think that's what we will do if we were them, you know. But some people say, wait, what a minute, what if the aliens have other ways to send messages or to store some kind of information that we will only be able to receive it when we are ready enough to read it. And maybe one place where, you know, the aliens will store such information will be in our own genetic code. One of the things that scientists were most about when they managed to complete the Human Genome Project, which is something that maybe the younger audiences of the podcast will not be aware of, but it was in the 1990s, it was like the biggest scientific enterprise in humanity. It was, some people compared it to the Apollo lunar missions. You know, all these scientists and institutes that were almost competing, because there were government-backed projects, and there was also even private.
Apropos of nothing, my late brother, Wallace Steinberg, ran an investment company specializing in genome research in the 90s. Mm-hmm. He was one of them. He didn't survive long enough to, say, actually finish something, but that's where it was.
But we have finished it now. I mean, the whole thing is mapped out, and now they're just trying to figure out exactly, you know, what does what. And they still don't know exactly everything about what does what they used to call, and you were probably going this direction, so sorry if I'm stealing any of your thunder here, but they keep finding that what they thought was this junk DNA turns out to be something useful, and in most cases, it's turning out to be sort of like an error correction mechanism, where if the gene is damaged somehow, this so-called junk DNA can step in and modify and correct it, which is pretty cool.
I just want to interject something here. The reason I say didn't finish, my brother died in 1995. So there was no way for the companies he invested in then to finish. They might have now, but I have no idea which companies they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but exactly. Nowadays, we don't even call them junk DNA. I think the standard term is non-coding DNA. And yeah, the scientists were appalled that the complete genome of a human being was smaller than the genome of some worms, which is like something that is almost insulting to our face. Like, wait a minute, we're supposed to be even more advanced. How come our genome is smaller?
Yeah, somebody was saying we share something like 70 or 80%, maybe more. I don't know the exact number, but it was a significant amount of exactly the same genetic coding as trees.
Exactly.
Like we're not that different, but the small differences make a big difference in how things end up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But where we were going with this, I think the suggestion is that maybe somewhere along the way, we might learn from studying our genetics that it is a code, and in that code is messages about our ultimate origin that might give us proof in a physical sense that we're not simply a random product of earthly evolution, that maybe there is some other mechanism involved that we hadn't yet discovered. Is that where you were going with that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, one of the things that I was saying, like, sometimes I feel like I go in too many tangents.
Don't worry, I'm pretty good at bringing things back around, so.
Yeah, I think that nowadays the concept of panspermia, you know, the idea that life didn't necessarily originate here on Earth, but was actually inseminated, if you want to use that term, from outer space, is something that is a given in modern astronomy. We just found organic compounds in a meteor.
Oh yeah, sure. It's known that amino acids are plentiful in space. It's just they don't know exactly how it all came together on Earth in some way to start to create life, and that part they still have to figure out. But somewhere along the way, it seems to have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, but obviously the million-dollar question is, even though organic molecules seem to be spread everywhere in the universe, does that mean that complex living organisms like ourselves are equally widespread? And right now the answer is we don't know. Getting back to the example of the sci-fi series Galactica, in the 2004, you know, remake of that of that story, it was interesting to me to see how whenever they arrive, you know, the survivors of the 12 colonies, they arrive to a new planet, it was mostly devoid of life. You know, they will find trees and maybe they will find, you know, single cell organisms, but, you know, nothing more than that. And there's also that idea that was used in the plot of the remake of the Earth, The Day the Earth Stood Still. The idea that, yeah, a planet in which very complex organisms are able to thrive are actually very rare in our universe. And that's something that even Whitley Strieber has mentioned in his works, and this is something that apparently has been told to him by the visitors.
Well, that would give them a reason to come here, because everybody says, okay, well, why would they bother coming here? Well, because exactly like you say, you know, mm-hmm. planets like Earth are rare. Why go to some planet that doesn't have anything going for it on it and is mostly just, you know, a dead or relatively uninteresting, and, you know, rock in space or gas ball, when you can find something like Earth that is teeming with life and culture and all the things that go along with that. That would be much more interesting, one would think, to an alien race that is curious about other things in the universe.
Yeah, I think that's, my stance with regards to the extraterrestrial hypothesis, but that's still a valid point. You know, they are not coming here to mine our gold or mine our water, since there's more than enough than that in other places like the asteroid belt. But yeah, an alien intelligence bent on exploring the universe, if they came here, they will come here because of us, you know, and because of all the life that is thriving in our planet.
Well, I mean, think about it. SubCity's interesting. We brought this up on the show a couple of times recently. They're finding now that the model is now that pretty much every single star that's out there has a planetary system that goes along with it, because we've discovered so many planets now around other systems, extrasolar planets, thousands of them, that the model now isn't that there are stars out there that are all by themselves, but that virtually every star has a planetary system. And therefore, out of those, it increases the whole Drake equation to the possibility of intelligent life immensely. And so guys like Seth Shostak, he's saying, like, you know, within the next couple of decades, we'll probably find a signal. We'll probably get it. And that's a huge turnaround for a guy like that, you know?
We've got a break.
Okay.
RPJ, Gene Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
We can all agree these are troubled times, right? So do you know who's on your wireless network? Whether it's a big company selling your data or a foreign hacker, if you're not protected, everybody sees your information. That's why you need Flash Routers, a custom Wi-Fi router created for privacy. Flash Routers uses a virtual private network or VPN to protect your online activity from hackers, trackers, and large corporations. And not just one, but all your devices with one out-of-the-box setup. Plus, Flash Routers also enhances your wireless network performance and unlocks powerful router management tools to let you take total control of your network. Call or click Flash Routers today at 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. That's 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. Protect your wireless home network today with Flash Routers.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So they're saying, like a Shostak will say, maybe we'll discover real alien life 20 or 30 years from now. Is that what he said? But that is like step number 7 in getting there about possible alien visitation now.
It's true. Like, just getting back to before the break, If that happens, then that's where we're going to want to go, right? That takes us back to just the point of, well, you know, why would they be interested in us? Well, the same reason we'd be interested in going somewhere, because it's there. We found the signal. We know there's something going on there. Therefore, let's go there instead of somewhere else, right?
Sure.
It provides a motivation.
A species like ours, you know, like curious monkeys that are not too comfortable staying in the same place for too long. But then again, you know, we share a lot of our DNA with trees, and trees are very happy, you know, staying where they are. You know, yeah, they like spreading, like all plant life, but they're not really interested in moving too much. But getting back to SETI, what I really am very annoyed is with all these people like Seth Shostak saying, oh yeah, maybe 2020 is the year we finally get detect the aliens. And I'm sorry, but I've been listening to such forecasts since I was in my early 20s, and I'm 46 years old by now, guys. Yeah. You know, I think it's high time that people like Seth Shostak will finally admit, you know what? We really don't know how to detect the aliens. You know, we really don't know if our procedures are correct, what we're doing wrong, because we've been doing this for, I don't know, 25 years, and we still don't get a thing. You know, so maybe it's time to refrain their methods, you know. Maybe it's time to get someone like Terence McKenna, go to Seth Shostak and say, hey, man, what about if you ingest 5 grams of this? And let's see if now you can talk to the aliens.
Well, it'll give you a different perspective, I'm sure, yeah.
But it's the idea that maybe they're trying to use bigger and bigger antennas to try to detect the aliens. But maybe what if they instead rely on the most advanced antenna in the planet, which is the human brain? And now we can talk about all these ideas that have been flying around currently in ufology with regards to the caudate putamen, this part of the human brain that seems to be related to people who claim the abduction experience. And maybe that could be a way of avenue of trying to see if we can interact with other forms of intelligences instead of trying to see if we now can build a bigger array of antennas.
Let's entertain that idea. And I think I've done that back when Christopher O'Brien was on the show. And I mean, you two would be right on the same path, I think. However, one of the things that I would point out, and I, you know, I have to apologize if I come across as being resistant or skeptical, but I do try to be open-minded about the idea. And so I looked into this, and there are people doing exactly like you say. They find a substance, DMT or ayahuasca, and they explore the idea of contact while in that state of mind with aliens, and they come back out and they talk about their experiences. Now, okay, that's pretty cool. But I think what we need to do is, in order to verify whether or not that is just sort of an advanced kind of drug-induced dream state that's taking place that is generated by the mind, or if they're actually having an objective in contact with something objectively real that is separate from them. And to do that, what we'd need from that communication is something objectively verifiable. So, for example, if during that experience they could bring back the ideas or the blueprints or the some sort of knowledge that could be independently verified, like in the movie Contact, where, okay, they get a message, we don't know what it is, but they're able to build a machine out of it.
And the machine,
you know what I'm saying?
But the machine, they never really, in the movie, they never really managed to understand if it actually worked, remember?
Right, yeah, there was controversy over it, but at least there was blueprints that were verifiable. There was a message. So, you know, if someone could do that and they could bring us back, okay, well, this is how we make anti-gravity work. We were just told that, and they could go build a machine. Then I'd be inclined to believe that what these experiences are more than just a subjective, just self-generated movie within the person's mind.
Okay, I don't know about anti-gravity, but what if I told you, you know, that there's plenty of example of psychics who are able to treat patients, maybe even, you know, surgically operate on them, and they manage to cure their illnesses? You know, is that not valid enough for you?
Well, that gets a little bit more complex, because then there's often other factors involved that a person might say could be contributing to the outcome. Whereas something that is very cut and dried like that would be better evidence. It's sort of like in the AWARE studies that I'm not sure if you aren't know about those, but it's where they've taken screens with messages in actual operating rooms and put them up out of the view of patients, so that if they have an out-of-body experience, and float up, they would be able to see a very unambiguous message. And then when they come to again, if they're able to relate that message to the doctors, they can say, okay, we don't have any other explanation for it.
Yeah, and I think that those experiments are flawed in the way they were conceived, because they never entertained the possibility that the things that they needed to put on those experiments, the things that they wanted the person that is out of the body allegedly to detect, maybe those subjects need to be emotionally significant to those persons. Otherwise, why would they bother? Imagine yourself, Randall. Suddenly you are out of your body, and you are holy, no, and you're there, and you are like experiencing reality in a completely novel perspective. You don't care if there is like a Rubik cube put there that you don't understand. But maybe if someone put, I don't know, a photograph of your mother, maybe that's the thing that will draw you. You know what I mean?
Well, that might be helpful, but I mean, these patients do describe when they have these experiences a number of things from the operating room that are fairly mundane in terms of what people are wearing, what people are saying, and so on. But none of them have been able to say what this message is.
We've got a message right now, in fact, four of them, to present to you. Cheating Randall, RPJ, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
As Thanksgiving weekend winds down, 40 million Americans are under winter weather advisories as a major storm approaches. Meteorologist Ivan Cabrera says the upper Midwest will be hit hard.
It's further north where we have the precipitation. It's going to be falling in the form of snowfall, and it is going to come down heavily, I think, in fact, 12 to 18 inches, certainly likely here across portions of Minnesota and into Wisconsin as well. But notice a sharp cutoff here. So further south, not going to be snow. It's going to be rain and even severe weather potential across the Gulf Coast.
Emergency Management Commissioner Deanne Cristobal says things will get messy in New York City.
You're going to see snow beginning tomorrow morning. It's going to turn into rain later in the afternoon. It's going to stay rainy then through Monday, but turning back to snow going into late Monday morning, early Monday afternoon.
This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I'm loving my Balance of Nature. Since I started, I have not gotten one cold. I kind of fight everything. I get a little tickled, but it goes away.
It's just amazing the difference I felt. I want you to know how much I appreciate the counseling and so forth and your attention to your people. I have been a pretty big advocate for the Balance of Nature. I don't know how many truck drivers have asked me, how in the heck do you keep going at 88, 89 years old? I said, Balance of Nature. If they want to really enjoy some good health, get on Balance of Nature.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Randall, I had to cut you off, and you know why. Go on, please.
Because we had messages, and we were talking about messages, and again, in these experiments,
message.
Whatever the message is should be at least as significant as anything else that these people describe. They describe typically very mundane things. So seeing a message up above where they wouldn't normally be able to see it shouldn't be that big of a deal. And yet nobody's been able to do that. And so I don't see how it's really flawed in terms of its concept, but I can also see... Well, actually, you know, I would say that it would be a bad idea to have somebody like a picture of your mother, because that's an image you already have in your mind and you already know about, and therefore your mind could create that in its own right. You need something separate and independent from the person that they haven't seen before in order for the experiment to work.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that maybe those experiments will have to consider the emotional charge of the objects that they want the person to detect. And this is something that I was also allegedly present when the United States government and Stanford Research Institute was conducting experiments on remote viewing. They will find that sometimes they will ask the remote viewer to go and use certain coordinates in order to detect something specific in the experiment. And the remote viewer sometimes will fail to do so, but they will nonetheless detect something else that they will feel drawn to, and it will still be a hit. It will
right,
still
like, yeah, like on an intuitional level.
Mm-hmm. And another example is that apparently remote viewers weren't able to actually read documents. That's something that was being extremely helpful. But nonetheless, they were receiving information that was very valid and that was corroborated. So we have to assume that maybe when you are in a non-ordinary state of consciousness, Randall and Jean, maybe when you are out of your body, that your mind is not processing information the way that we process information in our waking state of consciousness. Maybe you wouldn't be able to detect, you know, a page and read from a page of a book, but nonetheless, you will be able to detect things that were of emotional significance. You know what I mean? Maybe when you are, pardon me, my very corny analogy, but maybe when you are out of your body, you are seeing with your heart and not with your eyes.
Hmm. Well, people do report visual stimulus as well as how they feel. I think there's room in there to include things like intuition. And that's sort of related in a way to something we might think of as synchronicity as well. It seems like intuition and synchronicity kind of go together. And to me, these are these kind of clues, and now we go back to the beginning of the show again, that there maybe really is some other realm beyond our normal everyday perceptions that we have some sort of access to that is limited, but nevertheless is real. And sure, maybe, and I guess anyone who's ever done these sorts of the drugs that we're talking about, they know. Christopher O'Brien would say, for example, that you know, if unless you've done it, you can't really know. You can't really explain it. It is something that is very different.
And not only that those realms are real, but they are more real than this reality, that this reality, when compared to these other realms, are like a shadow, you know? Like,
so this is the Matrix, and the real world is something else. Or what? Yeah. I mean, what are we talking about here? We get into things like the Mandela effect, too, as well.
One of my given assumptions when studying this phenomenon is that UFOs are real and we are the illusion. You know, that UFOs come from a realm of existence that are more real than this life. And this is something that even Jacques Vallée has mentioned multiple times, and even I question him about it, that she explains it this way, that there is a level of consciousness that exists in a reality for which this reality is just a subset, you know? And this sounds a lot like what ancient Gnostics used to say, and I mentioned that to him, but he quickly retorted, yeah, well, so what? Those ancient Gnostics, those were the first philosophers, you know, and also the first, in a way, the precursors of modern scientists, the people who were trying to understand the world beyond our traditional rational senses, you know, using what we now call Gnosis. Which is, Dean Radin mentions it in his book, Real Magic. Gnosis is like knowing from the heart. It's something that doesn't need, like a rational explanation in order for you to get it. Like, you know that you love your wife, but you don't need to prove it with a Venn diagram, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting part of our human existence that we have those sorts of experiences. And I do think it represents a kind of communication that is objective. As much as we feel it subjectively, we know it must exist in other people, and therefore it's not simply something that's unique to ourselves. Other people have it. I mean, people who say in a relationship, who are, like you were just saying, who have been together a long time, they develop connections that just seem to me to be more than sheer coincidence. People can know, they can get the wave. It's like radar love, right? They know when something is wrong with their child. They can sense it. They can feel it, like in their being, and they'll go to the phone and they'll go, what is going on? And they'll find out, oh my God, you know, they've just been in a car accident, and they will have no way to know that other than exactly like you're saying, there's some other process of communication going on.
Yeah. Hence what I was referring to with these studies made by Sam Parnia, you know, of people trying to see if they can detect things when they are out of the body and the operating table. I think that you need to have that emotional charge component in order to create what we could say is some kind of like psychic entanglement, you know. That's when the love of a mother for her child is what makes the connection, the psychic connection possible, the precognition on, say, of sensing that the child is in danger or that something happened to them. That's the thing that probably was lacking in those experiments. And that's the thing that maybe we should consider when studying things like the UFO phenomenon. You know, like we are trying to be very rational and very cerebral about it, but we are leaving behind, you know, this emotional component that probably is one of the missing parts of the equation.
Well, that's probably also the missing part of what a lot of investigators do, because they consider them external events, like you see a plane in the sky, and they set down the information, they record the information that way. So lots of other details are never asked. And I keep mentioning this over and over again about MUFON and other organizations. If they're not open to any possibility or more possibilities, they're not getting anywhere. Red Pill Junkie, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, lots more coming. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family from criminals, and he's the one arrested. The legal system is not fair, and responsibly armed Americans are political targets. So here's how you can take a simple and rewarding journey to complete self-defense confidence. Simply text GCN to 87222. To discover how the USCCA can give you the training, education, legal, and financial protection you need to truly protect the people you love. Don't risk everything and leave your family vulnerable. Now it's time to prepare and protect yourself. So if you're ready to take your next step as a responsibly armed American, you're ready to truly become your family's ultimate protector. Text GCN to 87222. Discover your life-saving USCCA member benefits today. Again, that's text GCN to 87222.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're back with Red Pill Junkie and Gene Steinberg and J. Randall Murphy, and we're talking about what might be lacking right now since we talked about UFO research, that we're looking for physical objects, and maybe they are physical, but a lot of the emotional aspects are not being explored because some people find that to be a life-changing experience. Is that a delusion on their part or something real or something generated by the force involved?
Well, Gene, I think you make a really valid point there, and it connects into what you're saying too, Miguel, in that we have this sort of commonality between events like near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences or these very subjective things and what we might otherwise think is a nuts and bolts phenomenon, which is a flying saucer. But in both cases, we don't have the verifiable, physical, scientifically valid evidence to prove that that's going on. It's just as mysterious. You know, so you would think that if UFOs are material objects, that by now we really would have something more than some sort of alleged metamaterial, right?
Well, maybe yeah. We are not able to visualize their reality. It goes back to the thing in Contact where the alien being allegedly came back to the Jodie Foster character, the radio astronomer, in the image of her late father with whom she had issues, saying that you could not accept our true appearance. So, again, we go back to the same thing. We're not seeing what's really there. We're seeing the attempt by an outside force to possibly make themselves visible. But then the other thing is, if that's true, they're trying to make themselves visible, otherwise we would not see them. Why are they doing that? What sense does it make to do it over and over and over again, year after year?
You know, with regards to the physical nature of the phenomenon, you know, Jacques Vallée makes very valid points when he writes that, yeah, he thinks that there's definitely UFOs are definitely physical, but he uses the analogy of a movie projector. A movie projector is something physical, something tangible, but it's something that is, but the things that emanate from the projector and that are put on the screen, you know, they're not physical in the same sense, you know. So you can believe in a way in the physical existence of the movie projector, but that doesn't mean you are supposed to believe in the physical existence of Godzilla or E.T. or whatever, you know, thing is coming out of the projector. But if you analyze the analogy really well, what he is saying is also that the screen in which the Godzilla and E.T. are projected is also, you know, not really real. You know what I mean? Or rather, the screen is a plane, a 2D plane in which these things are projected. So we are the ones that are inhabiting the screen. We are also, you know, like not as physical as the movie projector. The movie projector exists outside of the dimension of the screen in which we are all embedded. I don't know if that made any sense.
Yeah, okay. With that, well, I mean, there's a couple of things wrapped up in there. There's the whole concept of mind-body duality. But then there's also the idea of holograms. It may be the case, and we've talked about this a number of times now, that a lot of this mysterious behavior on the part of what we assume to be a physical craft may be simply what they want us to see, because they are literally not just an analog, but creating a holographic illusion of a craft or what their craft looks like some sort of cloaking device that can change, that can emit different shapes and make it look like it's something it's not.
Yeah,
active camouflage.
Yeah, and that hologram, if we want to use that analogy, maybe during very brief moments are as tangible and as solid as we are, right? And therefore, they are able to leave impressions on the ground. They are able to be detected by radar. They are able to cause alterations on vegetation. They are able to produce enormous amounts of radiation that affect the soil, that affect the fauna, and that affect the witnesses as well. You know, and getting back to the cases that they investigated in Brazil, where people were affected by these objects that they will call the chupas, you know, and they were so concerned about it that even the Brazilian government, the Brazilian military, investigated those cases. And to my knowledge, most of that information has never really been revealed, at least not in Western English-speaking ufology.
We're going to explore UFO cases in Brazil in connection with a new book published by Philip Mantle's Flying Disc Press next week. But the key is here, if we're seeing these UFOs in different forms and they are projections, maybe we're contributing to what we see, that shows intent. If they can hide themselves, they wouldn't even be seen. If they have their Romulan cloaking device or whatever the equivalent, they'd be invisible to us. As soon as they become visible, if it's something that has to be done deliberately, that implies intent. They want to be seen.
Exactly. And that's a really good point, Gene. I think a lot of people overlook, like, if they're doing that, there must be an intent. So what is the intent then? What does the behavior imply? What do you think, Miguel?
Well, this is when I feel that Jacques Vallée theory of the control system is still the most valid one. That is some kind of conditioning program. It is designed in a certain way to have periods of high activity and then followed by intervals of silence and then another period of activity. And those periods are not very regular. In fact, they have to be irregular, because that is a way in which you get the most efficient amount of conditioning, or you manage to more effectively make the lesson learned. Now, what's the lesson that we're going to learn? It's difficult to say. You know, maybe you will have to study the evolution of human cultures throughout the centuries. You know, there's definitely, you know, perhaps this idea of pushing humanity towards a concept of monotheistic religions and some kind of structured hierarchical societies, you know, in which there are people on top and people on the bottom. Maybe that was part of the control system, you know. Maybe that was part of the objective, and conducing to creating a global civilization, you know, like ours. Because in the past, civilizations were very insular. They were very like developing in a certain area and blooming and then disappearing. And right now, our civilization has managed to encompass the whole planet. And even, you know, probably could be spreading outside of the planet in a few centuries, you know, with thanks to Elon Musk and his plans to colonize Mars. Maybe that was part of the plan all along.
Well, that's really interesting. And, you know, I know for our audience here, we're getting out into speculation. We're bouncing ideas around. This is part of just the fun that we have on the show, talking about this stuff, because it is really interesting. We're not claiming necessarily that this has happened or that's the case. I think we'd all agree that there's something going on. We're just not sure what it is. But what your story reminds me of is another sci-fi series that is getting kind of dated now, and its effects are kind of, you know, they're rudimentary, but it's called Babylon 5.
Probably. Let's go into that more to come. We've got a lot more discussion in the final third of this episode. RPJ, Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.